Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
I'm chatting with Howard Free, Certified Financial Planner at Old Mutual Personal Finance. Howard, appreciate the time. Recent Old Mutual Savings and Investment Monitor shows that 68% of working South Africans are more optimistic about their financial future in 2024. This is markedly up from 53% in 2020. And truthfully, it's a good news story.
Hi, Simon. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, this is a great story.
Part of the trick is, I mean, I suppose the key point is optimism without an action plan can lead to frustration. We need to have plans. I know we don't want to delve into our finances. It scares us. But that optimism needs a plan, and that planning is so hugely important.
Absolutely, Simon. And, you know, one of the things that drive optimism, and what I believe is that when you have an effective budget, the budget, I would say, the cornerstone of your financial plan. And the reason why that is because your attitude towards paying your debt versus savings is such an important thing. And when we look at a lot of people's budgets today, a lot of people don't have an effective budget. And what we tend to find is that a lot of people have a lot of debt, not because they want to, because they have to, just to sustain their daily living. Mm. So what the plan or what a financial advisor does is, how do we optimize your budget? How do we get you to pay off your debts sooner rather than later? So that same money that you are paying towards your debt, you can now use it for other avenues such as savings and building wealth in future. So your having an effective budget is one of the most important things that you can have in your personal financial planning.
That's a great point. I'm thinking of someone who feels like they're drowning in debt, and maybe they are drowning in debt. They've got far too much, and it seems impossible, and it is impossible until you've got that budget, because then it breaks it down and it says, well, no, here's your plan. It might take a year. It might take 2 years to pay it down, but suddenly it takes that fear and actually sort of puts you in charge.
Absolutely. So this, another thing is timing. Mm-hmm. Timing is so important, because a lot of people, they have this goal in mind to say that I want to be debt free. And you don't want to put yourself under way too much pressure to try and settle all that debt within a short period of time. But then you end up hurting yourself more in the long run. So going with trying to settle your debt is that we try and set a goal behind that. Mm-hmm. So if you have a goal in mind to say that I need to settle, I have 3 credit cards and I'd like to settle them in the next 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, then we can put mechanisms in place on how to achieve those goals within the next 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. So along with trying to have an effective budget, we then also need to look at, what are your goals? How do we define the goals? And what plans and strategies do we put in place to achieve these goals? And if debt management is one of the key things that you feel is holding you back and you need to break hold of these so-called chains, then that becomes your defined goal. The next thing is that, how do we achieve paying off this debt sooner rather than later? And we then put a plan in place. So once one debt is settled, we take on the next debt and the next debt. Yeah. And eventually, once the debt has been settled, you now have all this voluntary money available to you. So then you can now look at, how do I start creating wealth for myself? How can I start investing in different avenues that can now turn into future generating income avenues? So having an effective budget and defining how your goal in terms of how you'd like to achieve that goal is so important.
Yeah, and I like your point then. It becomes powerful as the debt gets paid down, move those payments into other debts, and then eventually the debt's gone. Now you've got a giant pile of money which you can reward yourself and go for a burger with the family, but also you can start saving. You also, and it's something which is so critically, and again, I stress, I mean, no one likes budgeting, but it's so powerful. You do your budget and you suddenly find these things. You've got a gym membership and you ask yourself, when last did you really go to gym? You've got 4 streaming services and it's like, yeah, but I only watch one of them. They're all those little tweaks which each on their own are not going to make a big difference, but collectively over a period of say 12 months they really can stack up and be important.
Absolutely, Simon, and this is one of the key things in improving your debt management, is exactly, you touched on such a key point, is that, and again, it comes back to your budget. Mm-hmm. So when we sit down and we're going through your budget, right, we're going to be touching on a lot of sore points. And we're going to be looking at things where you are paying for all these services, but are you really getting value for money? Are you paying for a gym membership that you are not really using? Mm-hmm. So if I were to say to you, what about cutting down on the gym membership? Are there alternative methods of still exercising? Can you go for a walk? Can you cycle? Can you maybe join a walking club or a running club that is a little bit more cost effective? If you maybe have DSTV, for example, the cost of DSTV is quite high. But what are the alternatives? We have Netflix, we have Showmax. There are a lot of different, more cost-effective streaming services. So all of those things, like you said, when you add them up collectively, they can add up to a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's an important part to debt management, so that when you start cutting down, it frees up some money that can now be rechanneled to your debt. And the one thing that we just need to remind ourselves is that we have a long-term goal in mind, is how do we become financially free in future? Mm-hmm. So we need to make those small sacrifices now. Another analogy that I like to use to people is that, you know, if you look at the, you know, some people like to reward themselves, or, you know, you'd like to go to Burger King maybe 4 times a month. But what happens if you only go to Burger King once a month?
Yeah.
Or twice a month, you're saving that extra 250 rand every time you're not going to Burger King. And again, it's not like you're saying that you're going to do it indefinitely, but sometimes you need to take drastic measures to get to the goal that you'd love to achieve.
Yeah,
and once you achieve that goal, you then have so much more at your disposal that you can do much more in future.
Yeah, and of course, you can make burgers at home, is what I always remind folks. A last point.
Absolutely.
What we're also seeing is South Africans kind of embracing the idea of multiple income sources. You've got your primary job, but what about a little side hustle? Maybe you sell burgers at the fete on the weekend or something. And again, that's not going to replace your salary, but it can certainly supplement.
Absolutely, and this is where we see that a lot of young South Africans are actually starting to get very creative, in the sense that when we look at the savings monitor, a lot of people say that just depending on one source of income is nearly not enough. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is that when you look at the rising cost of living, so cost of living is constantly increasing and your salary may not be increasing in line with those increases just to live. So a lot of people are saying, but you know, one source of income is not enough. What can I do over and above my daily living just to earn that extra income? And if we use the burger as an example, there are so many different farmers markets and different events and fairs over weekends that some people tend to say, I love cooking. Let me leverage my love for cooking and let me use this to earn an income. Or some people would say, you know what, I'm really skilled at woodwork. How do I use my skill to earn an additional income over weekends? And how can I turn my skills into a sellable commodity? So a lot of people are not just depending on the basic salary as a means of living, but what else can I do to earn more?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not going to replace your salary, but it can be massively powerful coupled with that paying down the debt. We'll leave it there. That's Howard Fries, Certified Financial Planner, Old Mutual Personal Finance. Appreciate the time.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.